The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like that a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, October 8th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could join us today and spend the next couple of hours with us learning all about the need to end adult marijuana prohibition. Remember, you can get in touch with the show anytime by going to 420radio.org and check out our contact page. Send me an email if you got any requests, concerns, comments, or suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. You can also post your own rants on our 420radio.org forums. If you got any question, ask Grey Wolf in our chat room or on the forums how to proceed. But we provide a platform for you to be the voice of the marijuana nation. You can also call into our show in hour two at 971-533-7111, or just leave a message if we're not on live, and we may play that later on another show. And we've got a special update on our 420radio.org website. We now have a mobile-capable website. So if you go to 420radio.org on your tablet or smartphone, there will now be a Ustream player that should show up for you, and a link to our TuneIn app if you want to get the audio only stream. It's great for smartphones when you're on the road, low bandwidth. You can pick it up even in 3G networks. It's fantastic. So check that out. All right, on today's show, we are going to do more remembering of the King of Pot, Michael L. Malta, who unfortunately passed away suddenly and surprisingly on Sunday night of a massive heart attack. His best friend in the whole wide world, Mike Cann, will be joining us from Boston, along with Frank Capone, to remember the King of Pot, tell a few stories, and give us a feel for the man who made such an impact on the East Coast in marijuana legalization and throughout the country and the world for that matter. Also, we've got a few extra videos of Mike Cann and the King of Pot from the Boston Freedom Rally. I dug them out of the archives. Haven't been shown on the show or uploaded to my YouTube channel yet, so you'll be seeing those premieres right here live on the Russ Belville Show. Also on today's show, some amazing behind the headline news. Texas supports pot legalization. I couldn't believe it the first time I read it either. And we've got a stupid stoner story, a crazy story out of Arizona. One of the worst excuses I've ever heard for smoking weed. Not that I really need an excuse. All that and more is coming up on the Russ Belville Show. We've also got Electric Tuesday, and our good friend Electric Bob will be calling in with a song from Kids in Tracksuits. I'm so old, I don't even know what that means. Thanks for joining us here on 420radio.org. Become a VIP supporter today. We are listener-supported cannabis community radio. We are not here without your support. So thanks for giving it. The news is next when we come back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane.
With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. U.S. Supreme Court rejects marijuana reclassification appeal from StopTheDrugWar.org. The U.S. Supreme Court Monday declined to hear an appeal from medical marijuana advocacy groups who had challenged the DEA's decision to maintain marijuana's status as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substances Act, the category reserved for the most dangerous substances. The court denied in summary order a petition for a writ of certiorari from the groups led by Americans for Safe Access, which had sought Supreme Court review of a D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals decision upholding the DEA's ruling that a change in marijuana's classification required that the FDA's recognition of acceptable medical uses for the drugs existed. Joe Elford, lead attorney on the case for Americans for Safe Access, told Law 360 that the Supreme Court's denial was in line with its reluctance to overturn lower courts and administrative decisions on medical marijuana. City medical marijuana ban to be argued before Michigan Supreme Court from MichiganLive.com. The city of Wyoming's three-year-old ban on medical marijuana will face its final test this week as attorneys argue before the state Supreme Court whether the city can reject the voter-approved Medical Marijuana Act on the grounds that the act violates federal law. Ter Beek, who said he uses marijuana to treat back pain and diabetes symptoms, said the city violated the tenets of the Medical Marijuana Act, which was passed by 63% of the voters statewide and by 59% of the voters in the city of Wyoming in 2008. His lawsuit was joined by the ACLU. In 2011, Kent County Circuit Court Judge Dennis Lieber ruled that the federal law against marijuana use trumps the state's Medical Marijuana Act. But last year, the Michigan Court of Appeals reversed Lieber's ruling. In agreeing to hear the case, the state Supreme Court has asked attorneys to focus on whether the state law is preempted by federal law and whether the city ordinance violates state law. Seattle City Council passes marijuana zoning measures from CBS Local. Nearly a year after Washington's voters legalized marijuana for recreational use, Seattle City Council has voted to set limits on where pot-related businesses can locate. The council on Monday approved a zoning measure for marijuana grow operations, processing facilities, and retail stores. It limits indoor grows to 20,000 square feet and allows them only in certain industrial areas. Seattle's ordinance also addresses medical marijuana operations in the city, making clear that they will have to obtain state licenses if they want to continue operating past January 1st, 2015. Recreational pot stores are expected to open by next summer. Colorado Springs mom resumes son's chemo after doctors balk at treatments. From the Colorado Gazette. Facing the threat of a bitter court battle, a Colorado Springs mother on Monday resumed treating her three-year-old son's cancer the traditional way, using chemotherapy. Children's Hospital doctors in Colorado Springs ordered the treatment, and the case was reported to the El Paso County Department of Human Services when the mother refused. Doctors diagnosed Landon last fall with leukemia and began him on an intensive regimen of chemotherapy and radiation. 9 months of treatments made him violently ill, his mother said, causing him to vomit 30 to 50 times a day. In May, Riddle tried something else. She stopped a daily regimen of chemotherapy pills in favor of a strain of marijuana called Charlotte's Web. The difference was remarkable, Riddle said, adding that Landon remained in remission and chemotherapy side effects had faded. In mediation overseen by El Paso County social workers, the mother agreed to resume the chemotherapy in lieu of taking the case to court, saying she had, quote, no choice. Medical marijuana overgrows tough to enforce in Nevada County, from CBS Local in Sacramento. Neighbors fed up with the smell from a Nevada County medical marijuana grow are being told there aren't enough deputies to respond to their complaints. Several medical marijuana cardholders got together and started growing on one piece of property, producing what neighbors say is a strong odor from the site. Nevada County Lieutenant Steve Tripp says a staffing shortage is making it difficult for the department to enforce. The Nevada County Sheriff's Department says it has received more than 300 calls for marijuana-related complaints this year. They've only been able to get to 100 of them. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the poll numbers from Texas on the questions of medical marijuana, decriminalization, and legalization. The results might shock you. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Fun.
Oh, hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink. We're partying hard over here, baby, so stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in too deep, brother, don't get in too heavy.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today's Behind the Headlines segment, I want to look at new poll data that just came out from the state of Texas. And the news is in, folks. Texas supports marijuana legalization. Yes, it's amazing. The latest data from public policy polling shows that nearly 3 in 5 Texans, or 58%, support, quote, changing Texas law to regulate and tax marijuana similarly to alcohol, end quote. The poll, commissioned by the Marijuana Policy Project, asked 860 Texans 3 questions related to marijuana policy, and on all 3, the same 3 in 5 margin supported liberalizing marijuana laws in the Lone Star State. When asked whether they, quote, support or oppose a change in the law to make it a civil, not criminal offense to possess an ounce or less of marijuana for personal use, end quote, the same 58% of Texans agreed that marijuana use should be decriminalized. 58%. In Texas, people, this is Texas we're talking about. When asked whether they, quote, support or oppose changing the law in Texas to allow seriously and terminally ill patients to use medical marijuana, end quote, support increased slightly to 61% of Texans that would support protecting patients who use cannabis as medicine. MPP's director Rob Campia, who is now a part-time resident of Austin, said, quote, most Texans agree that marijuana sales should be conducted by legitimate businesses instead of drug cartels and the underground market. No adult should face potentially life-altering criminal penalties for using a product that is significantly less harmful than alcohol, end quote. Interestingly, the gender gap usually found in marijuana legalization polls is not found in Texas. Where other polls have shown women's support for legalization to trail men's support by 5 to 10 percentage points, the Texas poll shows women slightly more supportive of legalization than men by a difference of 59% to 57%. Women and men had identical 61% support for decriminalization in Texas, and women had more support for medical marijuana at 59% versus men's 56% support. Unsurprisingly, Republicans were not quite as supportive of legalization, with less than half, or 48%, of GOP voters backing a Colorado or Washington-style legalization in Texas. However, Republican majorities support both decriminalization at 55% and medical marijuana just barely at 50%. Democrats in the state back legalization with 70% overall support, and 53% of them strongly supporting taxing and regulating marijuana like alcohol. 2/3 of Texas Dems support medical marijuana, 67%, and decriminalization, 66%. When broken down by racial and ethnic demographics, support for marijuana reform still remains a majority issue. Blacks and Hispanics are more likely to support legalization in medical marijuana than whites, but Hispanics are less likely to support decriminalization than blacks and whites. And every age group supports marijuana legalization, ranging from 52% of senior citizens older than 65 to 63% of those in middle age from age 30 to 45. However, young people aged 18 to 29 fail to give majority support to both medical marijuana and decriminalization, with sizable percentages, 32% and 14% respectively, answering not sure on those issues. And that part of the poll is the one that bothers me, because when I've looked at so many polls over so many years, and all of them will always show that 18 to 29-year-olds have much higher support for medical, decrim, and legalization. But here we're getting huge numbers, you know, for a poll of not sure answers. Most of the not sures on all of these questions, when you broke them down by any other demographic, were not much more than 6%. But 14% not sure on decrim, and a whopping 32%, almost a third of young Texas people, not sure on medical marijuana. It's interesting because they do support legalization by majority support, but not decrim or medical marijuana. And I'm wondering if this is young people in Texas not wanting to just go part of the way, wanting to make the big step into legalization rather than the baby steps of medical and decrim. Remains yet to be seen what will happen in Texas, but we are very excited to see these poll numbers here at 420 Radio. All right, folks, it's time for a break, and joining us for the break here in the studio, we got Brian the Red. He stopped by. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
We'll talk to him a little bit in hour two as well, so stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Electric Tuesday, and we're waiting for our call from Electric Bob, who's in the chat room saying, I'm calling, 971-533-7111. And I don't know why the call is not coming in, but I've tried dialing out to you, too. So there we go. Here comes Electric Bob on the phone. Are you there, Bob?
You got me?
Yeah, we got you now. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Bye. We're having technical difficulties.
Boy, I tell you, that never happens here in our studio.
Yeah, I tried calling the number, and it kept going to voicemail. But hey, how's it going, Russ?
That's weird. You know, it was going to voicemail before for some other folks. I thought I'd have that cured, but you were able to get through this time, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's technology. All right. Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm looking forward to this tune. I love the name of the group, Kids in Tracksuits. What can you tell us?
It's an older group. It's a producer that I really like named Lone. It's one of his older groups with a friend of his that they're broken up now. And I'd hope they'd make some new music because the stuff's just great. It's like a mix up between, I don't know, like old school NY hip hop and electronic stuff. That's the best way I can describe it.
All right. I like that old school late 80s New York City type hip hop stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking when I heard Kids in Tracksuits. I'm thinking the old Adidas Run DMC look. Is that kind of what we're talking?
Yeah, exactly. Their cover is just a bunch of kids dressed up in like the old Adidas and the and the crocodile hat.
Right on. Looking forward to that. All right. So also, we've been discussing a little bit behind the scenes about the possibility of putting together a Tuesday night music show. Any new news for us on that front?
We'll have to talk some more. I want to do it, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be some good stuff. So let Electric Bob know in the chat room if you're looking forward to some more music shows. We'll put one on Tuesday night music show here. I don't even know what we'll call it yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll do something.
All right, well, let's get to the tune here. This is Kids in Tracksuits. The song is called Real Axe, and Electric Bob, thanks for calling in.
Warmth and relaxation go together. So one way to increase feelings of relaxation is to help yourself feel warmer. Here's a technique for that. Imagine yourself lying on a floor that has a deep, heavily patterned rug. It's comfortable just laying there. Now imagine a warm thermal blanket rolled up against the bottoms of your feet. Feel the warmth of the blanket against the bottoms of your feet.
Alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence.
Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420Radio.org presents Hemp Radio with Patty Cakes in Orange County, debuting every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, with replays Thursday at 7 a.m., Fridays at midnight, and Sundays at 9 p.m. right here on 420Radio.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, folks, welcome back. And as you know from yesterday's show, a dear member of the community, especially out on the East Coast, the king of pot, Michael L. Malta, passed away on Sunday night from a massive and sudden unexpected heart attack. And the community is still mourning, and we are working to get three activists from Boston on the phone lines right now with us to discuss and remember the legacy of Michael Malta, the king of pot. And leading up to that, I just want to say that I didn't have as much chance to meet Michael as I wish I could have. I met him at the 2009 Freedom Rally and the 2013 Freedom Rally. He was a great guy, loud, boisterous. He definitely filled up whatever event or room he was in, and did a lot for a lot of people. So I'm going to show a little video here. This was me meeting up with Mike Can and the King of Pot at the Boston Freedom Rally this year. And when we come back, we'll have those guys on the line and we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Dude, my name is Mike Can. Are you going to vote for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask him now. Is he going to vote for me?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll vote for you, Mike Can.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ. I appreciate
is that
your vote.
Russ Belville?
It is.
Russ, you know I'm a big fan. I'm the king of pot.
Yes, I know.
I'm always watching
your
shit. And I remember the time I came here and watched your speech up here.
Yeah.
And you told everybody to call the president.
Yes, sir.
I don't forget, dude. I love your shit. Yeah. And this man, Mike, got me to know who you were.
Well, thank you, man. Oh. Have a sticker?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take a sticker.
Radical Russ, I love you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I want you on my show one day.
I'd be glad to. Let me give you the card so that you get the phone number here in addition to the sticker.
Please do.
There you go.
And I have to tell you that I used your inspiration for VoteNoOnQuestion3.org.
Oh, yeah.
And MadeSmartApproaches.com.
I love that one. Kevin Sabat.
Kevin Sabat. I've done a total speech.
He deserves this. I love all that stuff that
this
he
guy
does. I love it. He gets so mad, too. He's like, oh, Ross. Kevin, shut up.
Shut up.
I'm just sorry. Kevin, I know you're my next door neighbor. I know we're supposed to go get a cup of coffee, but just shut up. It's so frustrating what they say and they do. It's just not right. It's not right. I'm glad you do it.
2016 campaign. What are we talking about here?
Marijuana, of course, and our rights, you know, and just voting for this, like this freedom rally right here. This is, you're voting for, we know, legalization in 2016. So it's a campaign, a public, you know, publicity like Vermin Supreme, get the word out of what we're doing, and the real cause everyone knows that we're all about. It's about legal weed 2016 in Massachusetts, and that's what we're working on. So,
all right, King of Pot, Mike Can,
my brother.
It's happening.
We're both, and we don't, you know, we don't want to grow it for you. We want you to be able to grow
that's
your
right.
own. That's what we want to make sure everyone
he's gonna,
knows.
He's going
to
make
really
sure.
True. That makes us a little different than a lot of
if leaders. I'm his vice president, he's going to make sure I get out to the people a lot more while you take care of the business, which you need to do to get this thing changed forever.
Yeah, legal. Legal. But you grow your own.
That's right. You hear that?
No,
Mike
please.
Can for president.
Right on. Vote Mike Can in 2016. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
You, Russ.
Thank
you,
guys.
Russ.
We love you, Russ. You touch.
Oh, yeah. We love you too, man. And now I'm going to kick myself the rest of my life that I didn't get a chance to be on his show. But joining us right now by telephone, we've got three Boston activists. And, of course, who you just heard from, Mike Can, is on the line. Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Russ.
Fantastic. We've also got Frank Capone with us. Frank, are you there?
I am here.
All right. And Dex is on the line as well. Hello, Dex.
How are you, Russ?
Doing fantastic. All right. Let's start with Mike Cann. Of course, we just played the video of you guys talking about the 2016 elections, running for president and vice president. And people could just see from your interaction how well you played off of each other and what good friends you appear to be. Tell us your memories of the King of Pot.
Oh, man, I just listening to it, I have goosebumps. I miss him, you know. He's just most amazing. He made everyone better around him, and that's what I remember him for. He made me better. He made me better, a better person, a better friend, just better at this activism thing. And he did that for a lot of people.
How did the two of you guys meet?
Through the movement. You know, I was a board member of MassCAN, and he had decided about 8-9 years ago to do an event. And invited everyone from MassCAN, and I was the guy that showed up. And just the way he treated me, and the fact that it was an out-of-the-way place with no people that I knew from the movement, but the club was packed because he had friends. He had friends everywhere. And that was my first interact. He had Marijuana Radio come into that show in Boston. That was the first time I ever met them. He's just an amazing individual.
Yeah.
I knew from the moment I met him that he was someone I wanted to be around all the time.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The way he was for all of us.
Yeah, let's talk to Frank a little bit. Frank, your thoughts on the King of Pot. How did you meet him, and what did he mean to you?
I actually met him through Mike. I had come in to be on the board for MassCAN and had met him a few times back then, and then more recently had become closer with him and really was just getting to know him, really, you know, in all reality, you know, and just the first time I met him, my first impression, you know, like you had said in the before you should play that clip, you know, just a big, boisterous dude who just, you know, the second he met you, the second he talked to you, he'd hug you up and he'd, you know, you were, you know, in the clique at that point, and guy would do anything he could for you to help you out. And you know, it's a terrible thing that, you know, what has happened. And I'm glad to have been able to have known him, you know, and for the time that I did, and just can't say enough good things about just kind of like the way he carried himself, you know. And like Mike said, he just brought so many different people together and made so many different things happen with his enthusiasm, his dedication to the cause and everything. And you know, he's to me, I've been, you know, an inspiration, you know, and want to carry on his legacy, you know, through my actions and that's basically the best I can say.
Yeah. Everyone I talk to who, and I've been reading through the Facebook posts and I've been reading through everyone's tributes and memorials, basically gives that description of him, that he was just ultra giving and, you know, so bright and fun and just kind of energized everyone he was around. So Frank, thank you for sharing that with us. Dex, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You know, we've seen a lot of reforms in Massachusetts as of late, you know, 2008 and 2012 passing major statewide reforms. How much did the King of Pot have a hand in that, in getting people motivated and out to want to support these reforms?
Well, the thing about Michael that strikes me as the thing to remember is he was there. He was always there. His face was there. His name was there. He took on something that people would remember as a name. He went out very publicly and very loudly, and he said what he was feeling, and he gave a lot of people inspiration and courage to go out and do the same, that they didn't have to be afraid to put their face behind what they were saying. And as far as all the marches and as far as all the gatherings, he's always there, and he was always up in the front. If nobody was grabbing a bullhorn, Mike was grabbing a bullhorn. If Mike Cann wasn't up there in front, Michael was up there in front, and always with a positive thing to say, and always just trying to unite all the broken factions inside this movement, you know, all the infighting.
Yeah, and that's a really good point to bring up, because I've found, you know, I'm over here on the other side of the country, but there's some stories that are the same no matter where you go, and one of those is infighting and squabbles that people have and grudges. And let's go to Mike Cann for a second here, because we talk about, you know, MassCAN board. I'm sure like any other board had those kind of squabbles. How was Michael in dealing with those situations and trying to bring people together?
He tried to stay out of it. And, you know, he was my brother, so he always backed me in a lot of stuff. Sometimes he, you know, unintentionally he might get involved, but he really,
you know, for someone like himself, he really stayed out of it, and he brought people together. Even myself, I look at, even in his death, there's no more grudges with me, with anybody in this world. And I live every day now like I'm Michael Malta. That's what we say, what would Jesus do? What would God do? I say, what would Michael Malta do? And I think that's my lesson in life for everybody. It's like, you know, we were going to miss him, and he gave us more than we ever gave him. He always took care of everyone else before himself. And we all have to take that with us, and we have to carry it on. We have to carry on who he was.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a good lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
Look at the support that he gets right now. There's not one person out there that has a bad thing to say about him. Not one.
Yeah. Let me I don't know if I'll be the first to say this, but let me suggest that the 2016 initiative in Massachusetts should be the Michael Malta Marijuana Legalization Initiative. What do you think?
I think we all agree on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Amen.
All right. Now, Frank, you know, in meeting people like Michael, and I know that whenever I go around the country and I'm at these different events, a lot of activists will refer to these kind of things as the family reunion. You know, like we're getting to see all these people that we work so hard with, and the camaraderie that you build with people they can feel like brothers and sisters to you. But of course, Michael also had real family, and I'm wondering if you've been in touch with his wife, his daughter, anybody in the family, and gotten any feelings from them.
I think at this point, there's been some, you know, light contact on Facebook, but really just trying to give the family their space right now, and you know, definitely going to be going to the services and stuff like that to, you know, show my love and support for the family. And he did have an awesome family. You know, I don't know his daughter, but I know his wife, and she's a, you know, a wonderful woman, and just was always there, you know, to support Mike. And now it's all of our turns to be there to support her in her time of need, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of support and the services, do you have any information? Does anyone have information on when the services?
Yes. And I'd like to say something to him. Dick can speak on the family more too. He's got two daughters. He has two daughters. They're both grown, beautiful girls, and they are having a tough time right now. And Valerie's wife is having a tough time. We're all having a tough time. We need support. So I hope everyone's there for them. And, yes, there'll be services. There's going to be ongoing events for a long time. People are already planning events. Bands are organizing. We know that. The people have decided to do an event on Mount Mary Jane, as we call it, where we did our 420 event on Sunday with you, Russ, mm-hmm. at the Freedom Rally. We're going to rename it Mount Mary Jane. That was decided by a group of people. I wasn't even a part of that. I don't know who did it, but I love that they did that.
Mary Jane to Mount Malta,
Saturday.
Right?
Yeah, Mount Malta.
There we go.
Is what they're going to call it. Michael Malta is what we're going to rename it, I guess. The people have decided. I mean, Thursday and Friday are the services. I think Dex has all the info on that, too, right, Dex?
I do. The calling hours are going to be at DeVito's in Arlington, Massachusetts on Thursday from 2 to 4, and then again from 6 to 9 p.m. And then the funeral is held on Friday at 10 at St. Agnes, also in Arlington.
Okay. And is there... If anyone, because, you know, the listeners here are worldwide, and if they want to send their condolences, is there any support fund for the family? I mean, I know funerals get expensive. Is there a place people can send cards or flowers or anything?
Yes, they posted that it's Devin Lou and Flowers. Dex, do you see that? They were collecting money. I wish I remember the charity. There was a charity that they were collecting money for, and... you can definitely find it. If you look at Facebook.com, you could see the obituary and the info on that, where to send donations.
All right, folks, Facebook.com/MikeCann. That's MikeCann, Mike Can, and you'll post all the information that we need, I'm sure.
Yes.
All right, well, we have a couple minutes left in the segment, so I'd like to go through and give you guys a last chance for words of remembrance you want to give for Michael Malta. I guess Dex, we'll start with you.
The last chance thing is I'll never be done talking about him. I want to give a shout out to his father, Daddy-O, and keep him in our thoughts as well, because, you know, Mike got his father out on the circuit talking to people
of his father's age and trying to right the wrongs that the government had done with their lives for so many years, and to see him and his father together out at events. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That video of Michael and his 80-year-old father. Is that right?
He's now 84, I believe.
Wow.
He was 89.
Yeah. That's an amazing video. I like watching that every time. Frank, last thoughts here for this segment.
Just to, live every day. Like I said, like Michael Malter, man. I mean, just to look at his example that he gave about not being ashamed to say who he was or how he felt at any time, and just be someone that's willing to bear their soul for what they believe in. And, to tirelessly work to bring change and to brighten people's lives, you know? And, so that's my takeaway, you know, is just to realize how fragile life is and, you know, not be afraid to be who I am and fight for what I believe and live every day to, like, you know, the last.
Right on. And Mike Cann, your words, your thoughts.
I just say, Michael Malter, you are my brother, and I'll never forget you. And I'll be there for your family, and I'll continue your work. And I love you, and you know how many people love you now. You never really knew. I know you didn't know, but now you know. Everybody loves you. Everyone respects you. And we miss you immensely. And we will not forget you.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
If I could also just say one more thing.
Yes.
I just want to say that the Michael Malter story is a story about taking anger and turning it into positive things, taking things that put you in a negative place and using them for positive change.
Right. And let's keep fighting that for that positive change. Let's get legalization passed in Massachusetts in 2016 and, pass that in Michael's honor, man, because he fought hard for that. And I know he would want us all to keep fighting for that. So thank you guys. I want to appreciate so much Dex and Frank and Mike for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Russ.
I've paid my dues.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
Hey, little dude. Send your mom and daddy out of the room. I got to get you up on this. You know who I am. Snake. Dealing in weed, coke, crack. Your choice. Take one hit and you'll do anything to cop more. Steal from your mama, lie, cheat on your homeboys. But hey, that's the price you pay when you deal with dudes like me. Now, some folks will tell you that I'm dealing in poison. But hey, do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to a kid like you? Yes!
Is crack worse for a person than marijuana?
I believe all illegal drugs are bad.
Is methamphetamine worse for somebody's health than marijuana?
I don't think any illegal drugs is good.
Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
Again, all
I mean, either yes, no, or I don't know. I mean, if you don't know, you can look this up. You should know this as the chief administrator for the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm asking you a very straightforward question. Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Does this mean you don't know?
Heroin causes an addiction.
Okay.
It causes many problems. It's very hard to kick.
So does that mean that the health impact of heroin is worse than marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're asking a subjective question.
No, it's objective. Just looking at the science, this is your area of expertise. I'm a layperson, but I've read some of the studies and aware of it. I'm just asking you as an expert in the subject area, is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
And I'm answering as a police officer and as a DEA agent that these drugs are illegal because they are dangerous, because they are addictive, because They do hurt a person's health.
So heroin is more addictive than marijuana? Is heroin more addictive than marijuana in your experience?
Generally, the properties of heroin, yes, it's more addictive.
Is methamphetamine more addictive than marijuana?
Well, both are addictive.
Well, is methamphetamine more highly addictive than marijuana?
I think some people become addicted to marijuana, and some people become addicted to methamphetamine.
You mentioned that the top your top priority, I believe you indicated to us, is abuse of prescription drugs. Is one of the main classifications of prescription drugs painkillers that you're concerned about?
That's correct.
And are those painkillers addictive?
Yes, they are. Very addictive.
Are those painkillers more addictive than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are in Schedule 1, are addictive.
Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad. Because drugs are bad, okay?
Stupid. Prohibition. Story.
As a public service, the Russ Belleville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. This just in from the Phoenix New Times. Phoenix man arrested on pot charge says he was just stressed out over government shutdown. Juwan Taylor was pulled over for a traffic infraction and placed under arrest for not providing ID. Police allege a strong odor of marijuana was coming from the car, and police found a bag of weed in Taylor's shirt pocket after searching him. Taylor, quote, stated he was stressed out due to the government shutdown and had to smoke some weed, end quote. It's not exactly clear what part of the shutdown he was worried about, since court filings indicate Taylor's employed full-time by a private company and told pre-trial services that he doesn't receive any government benefits. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition story!
Well, I don't even know what to say about that one.
Well, you know, a lot of people are stressed out about the shutdown.
I was stressed out about the shutdown because I went to go, I went to get data off of the census, and it's down. You can't get the quick stats off the census to figure out, you know, how many people there are in whatever county or whatever state or whatever.
Oh.
I know. I was a little bummed out about that.
So they fired the tech, or the techies are quitting too.
So. I guess so. I guess the servers are on strike, are being furloughed as well. But there is an object lesson in this stupid prohibition story, as there is always. It's bad enough he gave a stupid excuse for smoking weed. Mm-hmm. But the point is, don't give any excuse for smoking weed, because when you give an excuse, you are admitting
that you're smoking weed.
So please,
keep your mouth shut.
Shut up. Stop talking in front of uniforms.
When will they learn?
Well, we try. We try to educate them. That's what we're doing here at 420radio.org. Now, I did want to take a little time here at the end of this show here just to, you know, add my thoughts on our friends who called in from Boston, Mike and Dex and Frank, who called in and talked to us, because this year we've already had two great activists, you know, Jenny Kush in Colorado, you know, taken from us suddenly by a wrong way drunk driver. And then we have Mike out in Boston taken from us suddenly from a heart attack. And boy, it's just, that's enough. No yeah. more. We need no more of this kind of bad news for the rest of the year. That's two people too quickly, too soon, and it needs to stop. That's what I have to say about that. Let's remember the good times and keep fighting for all of the freedom that we've been fighting for, because people like Jenny Kush and people like Mike Malta, and again, I have to emphasize that hardly knew either of them. Okay, so I'm not, you know, trying to talk as a friend or anything, but I'm just saying, as an activist, as a fellow activist, there are people that I always ran into as I went to these different events. And you find as an activist that we're kind of few and far between as far as people who have the combination of the will to want to fight, the balls to stand and fight, and the talent to be successful at doing so. To be able to get those three things in one person is kind of a rare crapshoot. So when you get people like Jenny and like Michael, they're gems. They're just they're so important to what we do. And I think it's also important as activists that we recognize the different types of activism that are out there and the different, you know, ways people contribute to these things. There are people like Brian Vincente and Allison Holcomb who spend their lives in undergraduate and law school and graduate school and spend a lot of time in suits and dress clothing and in front of courts and so on. And that, of course, is, you know, an integral part of what we're doing here. That's one kind of activism. And there's another kind of activism where it's the people who go out and gather signatures or table at events and help to you know, raise awareness and educate people and to provide a face to the movement. There's that level as well. There's the level of people like doing what I'm doing, who are seeking to broadcast information, to spread the truth, to be the media, to be the independent media of this movement. And that's something Mike was doing with King of Pop Productions. That's something Mike Kahn's been doing forever in his blogging and his websites and shows. And it's something that we all, you know, strive to do, you know, professionally. Although as pot reformers, we do have a good time while we're doing it, and we have no compunctions about being open and honest about what we're doing. And that's why I'll always remember people like Michael Malta and people like Jenny Kush, because they're the ones that are stepping out. They're the ones who are kind of galvanizing our side. Sometimes we get accused in this particular area of activism of preaching to the choir, right? Oh, you know, it's just other reformers listening, and, you know, it's not really reaching out to the soccer moms. Well, look, I'm going to let Allison Holcomb reach out to the soccer moms, right? I'm going to let Brian Vincente reach out to this, you know, the middle class set. I'm going to let Robert Platshorn reach out to the senior citizens, right? Everybody got to know their strengths. And I felt like, you know, Michael's strength and my strength and what we're doing here, and many people like John Doe and Coral Reefer and a lot of people who are involved in this podcasting, video blogging, streaming world, we're about, you know, getting our side on the same page and getting our side motivated and having someone to lead the charge. That's what we feel like we're doing here. We feel like in each in our own way, providing a forum, a way of getting this message across and to get our people organized and energized behind what we're doing, because it's a tough battle trying to do this. There's a lot of loss that can come your way. You can lose occupational opportunities. You can lose, you know, family members who, you know, strongly disagree with what you might be standing up for. There's all sorts of ways that we battle through this. And it's people like Mike, it's people like Jenny, who we have to hold up and remember that as far as we go, we get there because we're building on their work. We're working together. You know, I saw some TV show, I think it's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as a matter of fact, where one of the lines was, you didn't have to have 100% of the solution. If you're working as a team, you only need to come up with part of the solution. So Michael came up with part of the solution. Jenny came up with part of the solution. We're all part of this solution. As long as we keep working together and building each other up, we will have this legalization in Massachusetts in 2016. Hell, in Texas now, where majorities are supporting legalization. The Berlin Wall has fallen, folks. Just a matter of time to sort through the rubble. Thanks for joining us for Hour 1 here. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, is up next, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Hanging out with Brian the Red, and maybe another guest coming down, an Adam joining us here in the studio, so we'll see if he gets here. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.